Reverend Harry Bridge.
And I am Dr. Scott Mitchell, and this is the Dharma Realm Podcast.
And we are coming to you from the Kodo of the Jodo Shinshu Center in Berkeley, California. This is the Dharma Realm Podcast for April 17th, 2008. And our topic today is American Buddhism.
So today we're talking about American Buddhism, or Buddhism in America.
Yeah, which one?
I think for now we'll start with American Buddhism
and, okay.
And deal with that other thing later.
Okay.
So I guess where we wanted to start was by talking about what this term American Buddhism means and really what my problem with it is.
Okay. What do you mean? What do you mean, Dr. Scott?
Well, the concern that I have with the way people use American Buddhism is that it tends to be this very broad and general term that, I mean, if you think about it, American is a very large term, right? It's a very encompassing term. It can mean a lot of different things. And so when you say American Buddhism, it really lacks specificity. But I see a lot of people use the term American Buddhism when talking about very specific communities or very specific kinds of Buddhists. And if you do that and call them American Buddhism, then I think the implication is that Buddhists that don't look like those specific communities therefore are not American Buddhists, or they're not Buddhists, or, you know, you need to think about what you're talking about.
Right. They're kind of subtly excluded, whether intentionally or not.
Right. Yeah. And the intention thing there, I think, is important too. I'm not making the claim that people are saying, oh, we're not going to talk about certain kinds of people. It's just that they're only focusing on certain kinds of people. And to me, it seems like, well, if you're talking about American Buddhism, you need to deal with a whole wide variety and a huge diversity of different kinds of Buddhist traditions that exist in this country. Mm-hmm. So anytime you make any sort of claim about, well, American Buddhism is X, almost for sure you're going to find some contradictory example of X.
Right.
You know, if you say, well, American Buddhists are primarily concerned with meditation. Well, there's this whole category of Buddhists practicing here in America that don't meditate. So if you say that American Buddhism is concerned with meditation, I can find you 1,000 examples of Buddhists who aren't concerned with meditation, and then I've just made that definition totally invalid. Mm-hmm. Or I've said that those Buddhists who aren't concerned with meditation aren't really Buddhists, aren't really American, which is, you know, a little problematic.
Right. Have you ever encountered resistance when you've tried to, have you ever had to like bring this up with someone who is making that kind of blanket statement about American Buddhists when they're actually not referring to all Buddhists in America? And then you try to tell them that, and what kind of reaction do you get? Or does anybody kind of be like, just shut up? You're you know, what is it, splitting hairs here? And
right.
That's
right.
Not what I meant. And
yeah, I've gotten that reaction, sure. I think part of the problem is that when we look at American Buddhism, it's very often easy to say, well, there's communities that are predominantly Asian American, and there's communities that are predominantly European or white American. And I'm not saying that that's not true, that there aren't communities that are more ethnically specific. That's a reality of religious life in America in general. Mm-hmm. So I think that when I say things like, well, when you equate American Buddhism with white American Buddhism, you're excluding non-whites, I think people get a little defensive because they think that I'm calling them racist or
something
like that. And that's not what I'm saying.
You know, I've actually had that same problem as being half Japanese, mm-hmm. which is how I often refer to it. And so if I remember like in college probably college age or whatever, and if I said to someone, yeah, my mother's Japanese, and then they would say, whoa, so what's your father American?
Right.
It's like, well, actually my mom was American because she became an American citizen before I was born.
Right.
So she's just as American as my father, but my father's Caucasian or white. Right. And so it got kind of uncomfortable at that point. But I was kind of guilty of it, too, because I would say I'm half Japanese.
Right.
I wouldn't say I'm half Japanese, half Caucasian or whatever. So yeah, it gets kind of sticky when,
you know,
and people do get defensive sometimes when you kind of call them on something like that.
Sure.
So,
and, you know, and I think part of the problem is that people in America people get really uncomfortable when they talk about race. You know, they don't know how to talk about it, I think. Mm-hmm. To be a little off topic for a second, what's happened recently with, you know, Barack Obama and the presidential election has sort of proven that people don't really know how to deal with it in an intelligent way. And so when I bring it up, particularly with, I think that a lot of Buddhist communities, and maybe this is just because I live in the Bay Area, are pretty left of center politically. So I think that whenever you talk about these things in those contexts, people immediately get defensive because liberal folks don't like to think of themselves as having any sort of, racist thoughts or whatever. But that's not the issue for me. The issue is that when you say, American Buddhism is X, but you're only talking about two or three particular kinds of Buddhism, then you can say, well, the Soto Zen community, at the San Francisco Zen Center, they believe X. That's a fine, fair statement that has nothing to do with race, nothing to do with demographics or statistics or anything else. It's just a simple observation. But when you make some broad general statement, that's when it's like, well, okay, that's sort of meaningless because you can't really make such broad generalizations about everything that's going on in American Buddhism because there's so much going on. There are so many things happening here. That to make some, grand statement like all American Buddhists are blah, it's like that's almost meaningless.
Okay.
Which is different from the conversation about about Buddhism in America.
Uh-huh.
What I mean is that when you put the preposition in into that phrase, then it means something different from American Buddhism. If you talk about Japanese Buddhism, for example, people can usually say, well, Japanese Buddhism is characterized by X, Y, and Z, and that makes it different from, objective or observably different from Tibetan Buddhism or Chinese Buddhism or, those kinds of things. When you say Buddhism in America, then what you're implying is that there's nothing sort of observably unique about American Buddhism, and that what's really happening is that some kind of Buddhism from somewhere else has been transplanted and is being practiced in America, which is problematic in this relationship to this question of American Buddhism, because I've seen some scholars say, well, American Buddhism has to be Buddhist communities that are doing something new and different.
Okay.
And if you're not doing anything new and different, then you're just practicing some form of Asian Buddhism in America.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Some of those issues are the same as what we were talking about a moment ago, right? About, sort of saying that, Americanness is sort of equated with whiteness and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But also, to me, it just seems like, well, as soon as you pick up a religious tradition and transplant it to some other cultural context, it necessarily changes. I think that's true for most religious traditions, right? I mean, how, for example, you in at your church, how you practice Jodo Shinshu doesn't look anything like how it's practiced in Japan, right?
Right.
So say some more about that.
Okay. Well, the interesting, when you said, for instance, Japanese Buddhism, even that term is
loaded.
Yeah. And it seems very much more synchronic in a sense, in that it's talking about Japanese Buddhism as an entity, and yet that necessarily ignores the historical changes that, quote unquote, Japanese Buddhism went through. And so you can look at Buddhism from like the Nara period, and maybe it's kind of like we're talking about where it's this transplanted Buddhism from China and Korea. And then they talk about how in the Heian period is when it finally became Japanese, whatever that means, right? And then you get like what, Kamakura period and these kind of exclusive schools. And so often Kamakura period, I mean, if we're going to get more specific and say Kamakura period Buddhism, and say, oh yes, this is categorized by this, this, and this, and yet we're finding that at the same time, the same schools from Nara and Heian periods are still going, and you still have Tendai Buddhism and Shingon Buddhism that are doing things differently than the Kamakura period schools. And so to make this kind of overarching generalization, even about Japanese Buddhism, is problematic.
Yeah. Right.
So, but that helps me anyway in understanding this issue of Buddhism in America versus American Buddhism or whatever. That even with American Buddhism, I think we need to be sensitive to the variety and sensitive to the diversity. And as soon as we start trying to apply this overarching label to a specific kind of Buddhism in America, claiming that that's all the Buddhism in America, without recognizing other exceptions, which may actually be the rule, even though we don't want to show that, right? So I think that's the important thing, is the kind of critical view, not to criticize, right, but to think carefully,
right.
Not to just accept things at face value.
Right.
So that's where I appreciate this kind of discussion, I think. And hopefully it's not to try and put anyone down or,
right.
or right, criticize anyone, but to just say, wait a second, maybe that's not how it actually is.
Yeah, yeah. Because right. I think that it sort of highlights the shortcomings of regional models of Buddhism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we have Japanese Buddhism or Tibetan Buddhism or American Buddhism, right? We sort of attach Buddhism to these locations on the planet
mm-hmm.
when, you know, I don't think that's really what Buddhists do.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
I think that most Buddhists think of themselves as Buddhists first, of belonging to a particular school or a particular lineage or particular tradition or community. You know, and that's not to say that their national identity or their national citizenship or nationality or ethnicity or gender or whatever, those things aren't important. Those things definitely are important.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I find it very rare that I meet a Buddhist who says, oh, you know, I'm an American-born Japanese Buddhist or whatever, right? Like, it's more I'm a Buddhist and I belong to the BCA, or I'm a Buddhist and I, you know, meditate, or I'm a Buddhist and I do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me like Buddhists are more concerned about what school they belong to than necessarily what country they belong to.
But I'll give you an exception.
Yes.
Going back to what I didn't talk about, which is about my experience at Lodi Church, is that, first of all, it is, for the most part, ethnically Japanese-American.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not everyone, obviously, but it's still pretty much holding to that model, because we're not in the Bay Area. We're kind of outside of the Bay Area, so we haven't. It's changing, but
right.
I'd say we're 20, 30 years behind the Bay Area as far as like ethnic change.
Right.
But once I got a phone call from someone, and they said, "Is this the Buddhist church?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And he just started, to me, babbling. And just, I was like, am I supposed to be able to understand what this person is saying? I think he's speaking a different language. And I had to break in and say, "Excuse me, I don't understand what you're saying." And he said, "Oh, isn't this the Buddhist church?" And I was like, "Yes." And he goes, "Oh, I saw you on YouTube. And don't you have the monks that do kung fu?" I said, "No, that's not us." He was like, "This Cambodian?" I said, "No, it's not. We're Japanese."
Uh-huh.
So in that case, right, I did... Right. have to identify myself and my church as an ethnic group or as a nationality.
Right, right.
And so I had to keep saying, "No, we're Japanese. We're Japanese." I had to keep saying it because he didn't want to believe me. I think he really was hoping he got the right place. And I did end up going online, and there are a few YouTube videos. Look them up. On put in Kung Fu Buddhist and Lodi,
wow.
and they'll come up. But it should have been Stockton. For some reason, there's a Cambodian temple in Stockton.
Okay, okay.
And so... it's interesting. There are
still
very ethnic temples around. And so for me, that was a really interesting exchange.
Right. You've had to like claim your...
Yeah. Right.
Defend your ethnic identity for a minute.
Yeah. Or declare it at the very least.
Right.
Which was interesting. And I find that maybe happens more there and wouldn't happen so much in the Bay Area. But... That has been my experience. There's been a few times where I've had to say, "Oh, we're Japanese." Sometimes Chinese people come in,
uh-huh.
and they're expecting it to be like the Buddhism that they know.
Right.
And I think they're expecting the melodies of like the Nyenfo or whatever, right, or Nembutsu. And we don't have those.
Right.
Right. Ours are completely different.
Sometimes I'm worried
that I'm going to disappoint these people.
Yeah. Well.
You know. So.
Yeah, and this just reminds me of what we were talking about before we started recording about. The reaction or the expectation people have in their heads when they come to a Buddhist temple, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what's going on in America, is that there's this, how Buddhism is practiced in temples and monasteries and centers and whatever is one thing, but then there's this sort of like popular understanding of Buddhism happening outside of those communities. So people have these ideas about Buddhism from, you know, from what? From like Yoda on Star Wars, or from like, you know, David Carradine, or you know, Kung Fu and all this kind of stuff, right? And they have these ideas in their head of like, this is what Buddhism is really all about. And then they go to your temple and they really want Kung Fu.
Right.
And in that moment, you have to like assert what it is that you're doing.
Which is easier to do when you're actually in your temple, and when you're actually talking to someone on the street, it's a lot harder. Because I remember... when I went back to Massachusetts, and I used to play in a band, and so I was at this club, and this guy came up to me, and he'd heard that I'd become Buddhist or whatever, and so he said, "Man, yeah, Buddhism's cool, man. When I'm hacky sacking, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm hacky sacking, and sometimes I get into this zone, and like to him, that's what Buddhism should have been about. And I didn't respond skillfully. I kind of was like, well, you know, that's not really what Buddhism's about, and I kind of disappointed him. Uh-huh. And looking back, kind of disappointed myself too, in a way that I didn't deal with it more skillfully and more positively. Huh. But standing there in a club, you know, it was kind of like, I felt like I was being kind of encroached upon in a way, and that like he was defining Buddhism for me.
Right.
And sometimes I almost feel like, who the heck are you to tell me what Buddhism is?
Right.
And I have to be careful. I have to guard against that, because I don't want to then say, I know what Buddhism is, you don't. So there's always this, to me, this kind of like push and pull between defining Buddhism and, you know, saying, this is Buddhism, you're wrong, or, you know, which isn't what I want to say. But when someone starts telling me Buddhism is this, then
yeah, that's tricky, but it's also like, well, that's kind of your job.
Yeah, and I wasn't a minister yet at the time when the hacky sack man came up to me. So.
But I mean, that's something I think about quite frequently, right? And now that you and I are both sort of professional, right? Like, you've become a minister, I've finished my degree, whatever. So like, I'm sort of this academic expert, and you're sort of this religious expert, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, that's part of our role, is to actually sort of define Buddhism, which I'm ambivalent about. Like, sure, I've just spent the last 8 years of my life really studying this stuff, so maybe I know more than hack is that guy.
Maybe.
Maybe. But I'm not used to, you know, telling people, no, you're wrong, you've got it wrong, you've got it wrong, I know what's right. Like, I understand that feeling. But on the other hand, like, well, I, you know, but I do know something. And it seems to me that you're in a similar position now as a minister. It's like, well, I think you can define Buddhism, at least in your particular community. Like, I don't think you would do this, but if you did, to start to step over the bounds and say, well, you know, Buddhism is blah, and those people over there in some other community, they're doing it wrong.
I wouldn't do that. I try to give, and you know, now that I am a minister, I'm officially a minister, and I'm officially working at a temple. I'm the resident minister, and I'm officially kaikyoshi now, like even from Honganji, like my status has been officially recognized, and I feel more comfortable now. I think when I wasn't a minister, it was much more uncomfortable to try and do that, and I just kind of backed off. I didn't do it very often, you know, and I didn't want to do that, because I didn't want to feel like I was pushing my agenda on someone. But now as a minister, I'm much more comfortable, and so I try to present a view of quote-unquote Buddhism and what general Buddhism is like, and then also what our specific church is about. And so I try to give a more balanced picture and also leave room for the diversity of Buddhism, because, I try not to say, no, this is Buddhism, that isn't.
Right.
You know, I try to recognize that there are many different kinds of Buddhism and many different kinds of Buddhists.
Because I have a similar reaction in my own work, where it's like I feel like, you know, academic scholars, particularly those who don't work in particularly religious contexts, really have this responsibility to just sort of document what's happening. And as a practicing Buddhist, I also have my own crazy opinions about what works for me, and, you know, what's, you know, what my own particular perspective on things is. And I try to, like, keep that separate somehow from my academic life, of saying, well, you know, here's some Buddhist community and they're doing things which are really different, you know, very different from, you know, what's come before, or what's traditional, or what's historical. Part of me always sort of wrestles with that, like, well, are those guys really Buddhists?
Right. The good old question.
And, you know, as a scholar, it's like, well, you know, they call themselves Buddhists, so they are. End of story.
Uh-huh. Right. I have to do the opposite almost, where ministers sometimes will say, you know, Buddhism is really about this. And when those people, they're missing the point. Uh-huh. They're not even Buddhist. And the scholar in me goes against that. It's kind of, I think we're kind of opposite case here, right? Where as a practicing ordained person, I could take that point of view and say, no, the real import of Buddhism is this. That other stuff is missing the point.
Right.
And the scholar in me just jumps up and says, well, but you know what? That's also Buddhism. You know, when people pray to spirits for worldly benefits, that is also Buddhism.
Right.
Historically, it's part of Buddhism. It's what living, breathing, self-proclaimed Buddhists are doing. It's Buddhism. We can say, but our school, that's not the point. I have no problem with that. Yeah. But I have a problem when someone says Buddhism is about X, and Y is wrong in not doing that.
Which is, I think, what we're really saying about this whole thing about American Buddhism, right, is that when we started this conversation, I was saying we have these general sort of American Buddhism is this, and you only do that, and whatever. And it's like, well, there's always exceptions. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I might think that, you know, as Shinshu Buddhists, that people who, you know, pray for worldly benefits are crazy, not really Buddhists or whatever, but they're calling themselves Buddhists. So we have to allow for that and try to figure out, well, how do they, you know, as a scholar, it's like, well, how do they justify that? What is their sort of rationale? What's the historical background? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And I think the same is true in American Buddhism. It's like, you know, there's all this other kinds of stuff happening in American Buddhism. You know, there are people who meditate all the time. There's people who, you know, meditate on the side but don't really do anything else that's, you know, observably Buddhist or whatever. And there's people who really get into the rituals and really get into esoteric stuff. And, you know, mm-hmm. there's lots of stuff happening. Yeah. And how you account for that, I think, is to go back to what individual Buddhists are saying. Right. Like you said a second ago, they're calling themselves Buddhists. Why? Mm-hmm. What is it that they're doing that's Buddhist? And, you know, how do they define themselves?
Mm-hmm. See, I actually love a lot of what, like, Jodo Shinshu is very specific about some things that you're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of different than a lot of other kinds of Buddhism, I think, in that it's very specific. Like, it excludes a lot of stuff that other Buddhists do. But often I like that stuff too.
Yeah.
And I even like Shinto. I really like Shinto. Like, when I've gone to Japan, and I think it's really fascinating. And I don't think that it's wrong or misguided or anything, you know, even though Shinshu has a kind of negative viewpoint on Shinto. I don't do the practices myself for my own spiritual life. I don't perform practices or that kind of thing that other either Buddhist sects or non-Buddhist sects may do. And I wouldn't recommend them to my congregation because, as a, you know, practicing ordained person in this school of Buddhism, you know, I encourage people to follow the path that this school teaches, you know, that Shinran taught, and that I follow in my own life too. But at the same time, I can't, I don't know, maybe I'm too postmodern or something, but I just can't reject all the other ones,
Harry.
Ultimately. Yeah, I'm too tolerant, huh? It's a hard line to draw, though, yeah. When you're in a school that does have fairly well-defined boundaries.
Right.
Well, right? And yet here we live in the 21st century, and like we're saying, there are so many different kinds of Buddhists right. here in the United States and throughout the entire world, and I think it's misguided to try and judge the other ones as to their rightness or wrongness, and yet that's what Buddhists have traditionally done,
Of course. I mean, that's what people do, right, is that people have I don't think there's really anything wrong with having rules and boundaries and structure. I mean, that's kind of what religious institutions are all about, right? It's providing mm-hmm. people with some structure in which to pursue their spiritual quest or whatever, however you want to phrase that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that structure is good. And I think you can have the structure and say, well, this is what we think and this is what we should do and this is what you should do or whatever, without at the same time judging other kinds of Buddhism or even other religions and saying they're wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you can say, we have this structure and this is our way of doing it and it works for us. You know, have fun doing whatever it is you're doing. We'll be over here doing something else.
And leave us alone, please.
Because really, I mean, I think the same thing is happening from the other end. You asked earlier about people who, you know, questioned me about my phrasing of American Buddhism, and I've had other people really come down on hard on me, really question me pretty harsh about, you know, some of the things that Shin Buddhists don't do, like we don't really follow the precepts, right?
Right.
It's not an emphasis in our school.
Right.
And people have really come down on me hard about that, as if, you know, the Buddha said you have to follow the precepts, and it's like, okay, that's fine that you believe that, but, you know, trying to force other people to believe what you believe about the Buddha is I think a little frightening to me.
Yeah, good point. And that the Buddha said a lot of stuff is another thing. The Buddha taught a lot of things and said, right. This is the way it is, and yet at a different time taught something completely opposite.
Yeah.
Right, is one issue with that.
I like that. The Buddha said a lot of things.
Hey, he said enough to fill up a whole bookshelf in Chinese.
That's true.
Which would be a lot longer in English, so... This concludes part one of our discussion of American Buddhism. Please tune in to part two.